Friends, we want to now go to, indeed, the campaign office of Elizabeth Crowley, Elizabeth being the first and only woman Democrat ever elected to the 30th New York City Council District, where she served for 9 years, now running for Queensborough President. Elizabeth, you're very welcome indeed to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Adrian. Thanks for having me on the program. How are you?
I couldn't be better now, honest to God. If I was any better, I'd be complaining. You know. Tell me, this is indeed a different year with massive confusion with respect to what is an extremely important election taking place on this Tuesday. Can you maybe just fill us in a little bit, considering that this primary date was changed in the first place, but now it is upon us?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right, Adrian. A little bit confusing. We had a special election planned for March 24th, but then the mayor canceled it. And rightfully so. We were just coming down with COVID, and our hospitals were getting inundated with new patients, and people were really scared. And so we closed down the city and canceled the election. And that would have been an election anyone could vote in. But this election upcoming is a primary. So that's where some of the confusion is. Only Democrats can vote on Tuesday in Queens for borough president. And we have congressional primaries happening, as well as the primary for the presidential candidate, although we know Biden already has it, but he's on there nonetheless, and people can still vote for him. And so, yeah, so we have a vacancy in the Queensborough president's office, and I'm running. I'm the only woman on the ballot, and Queens is hurting. You know, we were the epicenter of the COVID crisis. We weren't prepared for it. We had too few hospital beds or emergency response times. Were higher than the rest of the city before we even got into the crisis. And so we need a leader that's going to fight for our fair share, and that's what I'm prepared to do. Been doing that my whole life. You know, I'm one of 15 kids.
15. That must have been a very different experience than indeed in your house. Where did you fit in the 15?
Second to youngest, so number 14.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, hey, yeah. I didn't know any differently, but my big Irish family taught me to fight for what is right and what I believe in and to not back down, and that has helped me to fight for more than just what I believe in, but the people when I represented the 30th Council District, and now we need leadership. We need leadership because we're hurting. We're going into tough economic times. We're projecting significant budget deficits. And Queens has been that immigrant borough. You know, my family came from Ireland. They came here. They worked hard. They put their head down. You know, everyone had to do well in school. And just, they didn't complain, right? So just like many, many immigrants come to the country for a better life, for the American dream, and Queens is known for that, the world's borough. It's what sets us apart, makes us unique and stronger. At the same time, we always have gotten less. And we've seen it when this crisis hit. We weren't prepared. Our families are living on top of each other in overcrowded conditions. Our trains are too crowded. We need more. And that's what my candidacy represents, big plans, bold ideas. It's time for our borough. It's time for us to be recognized more than the center of a pandemic. But for, you know, attracting big companies to want to open up headquarters here and big ideas. And that's what my candidacy represents. And I think Queens has a lot in store for itself in the coming months and years.
Elizabeth, having spent 9 years representing, a very large, significant section of Queens, you had a few accomplishments, indeed, that's worth pointing out, not the least of which is through your advocacy, and you delivered 6,000 new public school seats in this most crowded school district in New York City. Now that, you know, we don't know where we're going because of the coronavirus. That's one of your priorities, though, is to, you know, get rid of or at least reduce the crowding in many of the schools in Queens. How do you go about that, and what is your platform, or is there a platform that can be relied upon at this point?
Well, it's been done. I came into the 30th Council District, and yes, it notoriously was the most overcrowded. There was no mass exodus of people. We built the schools that were needed, that should have been planned for when development was happening. And we need to have a two-pronged approach here. We need to find the land to build the schools. And we need to also make sure that when developers are getting air rights and density rights to build higher and larger square footage and more units, that they also have to give back public benefits and work to help us with our school construction authority budget.
On, you know, again, as you pointed out, you know, the frontline workers, the first responders, they were under ferocious pressure in Queens, and you know, I think a lot of us might think that, you know, supporting hazard pay for these local heroes, that should be smartened up as well. It has become a political football. What are your views on that?
Well, let's take the paramedics, for example. FDNY paramedics were responding to over 300 cardiac arrests a day, up from what was an average of maybe 30 on a busy day. Now, they were working around the clock, 16-hour days, 7 days a week, and we needed relief. So the federal government, FEMA, sent in new ambulances, and those ambulance units were getting paid twice as much. They were getting paid double time, and they had a higher salary than our New York City FDNY EMTs. To begin with, our EMTs are not making a very good living, and they're not being paid a good wage. And for that reason, you have fewer staying on, so the retention rate is low, and we must do more. We must do more because many don't realize this, but when you're in a life-threatening situation and you are either in cardiac arrest or you're a victim of trauma through car accidents or shootings that happen, every second counts. And your first line of help and the first response is often that ambulance. And however long it takes, every second makes a difference. And so when we have too few and we don't respect and pay them good wages, it becomes a big health crisis. And it shouldn't be that way depending on where you live. And in Queens, no matter what zip code you're at, the average response time is well over a minute higher than the rest of the city. And that's like over 9 minutes when you really don't have more than five when you're in cardiac arrest.
Right.
So it's a problem. And then when you look at our hospital beds, for our population of 1,000, we have about 1.5 beds, whereas Manhattan has about 7. So we need to attract private hospitals as well as invest more in our health and hospital corporation to expand access to beds here in Queens.
Elizabeth, during your term on New York City Council, and considering indeed that you were the first woman elected to your city council seat in the 30th, you made some tremendous strides in electing more women, you know, citywide.
Right.
Everything from, reproductive health rights, equal pay, and empower girls and women borough-wide. And your period there, has that had legs in the sense that, excuse the pun there, but how do you feel with respect to the women's rights and their place in city government?
Birgit, I will look back to when the first time I ran for city council. I had kids that were in grade school, and I remember hearing from voters that, oh, what are you doing? You should be back home taking care of your kids. And often my kids were with me campaigning. So there was a lot of discrimination, gender discrimination that I faced running for office. And many women, no matter what their profession is, often face gender discrimination. But when I got to the council, there were so few of us. And study after study shows that when more women run for office, if we were to run at the same frequency as men, we would get elected at the same frequency. And so I started an organization called 21 and 21, which next year is 2021. We'll see a massive term limits on the city council, so you see exodus of a significant number of members, and an opportunity there that I'm working towards helping more women run and get elected in 2021. And from McKinsey to other consulting groups that have done studies that have lasted many, many years, no matter what kind of board it is, a governing body, a corporate board, when you have a critical mass of women and minorities and you have a balance, critical mass is like at least 30%, you have a more productive board. And we know that government can certainly use more productivity. I mean, like, there is a lot of fighting that happens and deadlock in Washington and certainly at times here in New York City. And we're going to have a lot of budget negotiating happening over the next couple of years. I know this from the time that I went into council back in 2009 after the last fiscal crisis, and I had to fight every year to keep money in the budget to save our firehouses, money in the budget to keep our libraries open, and to not have teachers laid off. That's what we're looking at. Right now, there's a city council that wants to defund the police department. They want to take $1 billion out of the operating budget. Now, I'm all for police reform and encouraging and training our police officers to do more, but to defund the police department at a time like this just would put us back.
Lunacy, in a word, and I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, but, it would appear in the heat of, all the adjustments that all of us have to make and that came on so suddenly. There's a lot of loose talk around that we, have to take and analyze. Just want to ask you, though, about one of the most prominent complaints for Queens and Queens, New York, and that has to do with transit, with the overcrowding of trains, the bus routes that have been juggled back and forth. And, of course, I'm delighted to announce that you have the endorsement of the Transport Workers Union, Local 100. Because indeed you have the strongest and most innovative plans, but this, how do we account for the most crowded borough in New York City and the fact that the transport services are at best dragging, and that was before we had the current crisis?
That's a really good question, Adrian. Our borough doesn't need to be the most overcrowded. We have a lot of land and area. It's that 85% of it is considered a transportation desert. That means that somebody has to walk greater than a half a mile to get to a train, and many, many, many more miles than that for the average Queens resident. We have a network of railroads that run through our communities that are not being utilized the way they could be. And that's the plan that I have. These railroads are active. Some of them are Long Island Railroads. Some of them are owned by Long Island Railroad or the MTA, and they're just moving freight. And so it's not like pie-in-the-sky idea. The Bronx is currently opening up a Metro North line that will come through Queens and not stop as of right now. And we need that particular train line to have a stop in Astoria, and that line would terminate at Penn Station. But with the opening of the East Side Access, we're going to have a lot more room in our tunnels to move more trains into Manhattan and in and around Queens. It gives us the ability to build neighborhoods in and around these railroads and to properly plan so that we're not so overcrowded. And, yes, going back to COVID, the overcrowding conditions, just look at the 7 train and the E train. Those are our two major lines that go from east to west, and they operate on any given rush hour at over 100% capacity. So we're fewer in population than Brooklyn, but Brooklyn has twice as many train stops. So we may be overcrowded, and our population is only about 7% less than Brooklyn's, and we're catching up. We have not had that infrastructure that has not met our growth. So the plan is let's get this infrastructure in place to meet the growth and to grow properly into the future.
Elizabeth, you have in the past and continue to have the endorsement of a great number of Irish organizations, many of whom are now in limbo. So can you tell us now, about, let's get back to the voting, the confusion, the absentee ballots, those who may be reluctant to get out and vote on Tuesday. Where do we go from here? This being Saturday and a few more days left until Tuesday to sort this one out.
I would encourage voters to vote early. They can vote today and tomorrow. There are 16 different locations in Queens, and there are locations throughout New York City for the various other boroughs that are having elections. And the whole state is having a federal primary right now, so everyone will have an opportunity to vote if they're a Democrat somewhere. Our state law said that we need to have sites that are early voting sites, and we have 16 open right now, and they're slow. There haven't been many people out to vote at these particular poll sites. So if you have not filled out an absentee ballot and it's too late to apply for one, you have not received it from the Board of Elections, even though you applied for it, you may not receive it in time. And so I would encourage going down to vote in person at one of these poll sites early this weekend, or just making sure that you're, socially distancing and wearing a mask and go to your regular poll site on Tuesday. The city is opening up now, and there are fewer and fewer cases of COVID. So as long as we keep our distance and wear a mask, we should be safe. We keep our hands clean.
All right. And for those who did not receive, as requested, the absentee ballot, what can be done there? Is there a ballot that can be downloaded from the internet? Walk us through that one.
Well, if you have not received the ballot by Tuesday, then you need to vote in person. Mm-hmm. The ballot is something you have to apply for. So what the governor did was send every registered Democrat in the state an application to apply for a ballot. And many, many people have. In Queens, we believe the number is like 150,000 people that applied for the absentee ballot. The problem that we're hearing back from constituents who sent in these ballots, even myself, I have not received that ballot back. So will I get it in time for Tuesday? I sure hope so. Will the voters, the majority that have applied for one, get it by Tuesday? I'm not convinced. It's a problem. And it's not right because the Board of Elections should have been more prepared. But if somebody really wants to exercise their constitutional right to vote and wants to ensure that their vote counts, they need to cast their ballot in person on Tuesday. If they don't feel like they can go in person, they can contact my office, they can find me on email. I could arrange for applications to be delivered to people's homes. It's a complicated thing, but I could have somebody go in person to the Board of Elections on Monday to pick up the ballots that were not delivered by mail and have them delivered to people's homes.
Okay.
If there are people like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm at Elizabeth at ElizabethCrowley.com is my email. And they could also just go on my website, and there's a email there that'll come right to me as well, just like info at Elizabeth Crowley.
Info at ElizabethCrowley.com. All right. I, again, hope that people do know that the early voting, and that there are 16 voting places in Queens. How do we find out where they are and the hours? And or do you know that already? In terms of the hours for those who might want to head out and do that early and avoid the hassle on Tuesday.
The early vote sites, they're open till 4 o'clock today. It depends on where you live as to where you should go. But mm-hmm. if you were to go to the New York City Board of Elections website, and you'll see a tab for early vote, or just if you were to search early vote New York City, a list should come up. And I wish it was that easy, but then, you know, how it is. It gets quite difficult. It really depends. I know, like, for folks who live in my old council district, many of them are either being sent to the Metro Mall, which is Metropolitan Avenue in Middle Village,
right.
or the Elks Club, the Historic Elks Club, if you live in Massachusetts, on Queens Boulevard or Elmhurst. But their sites, depending on where you live, are scattered about. If you're in Rockaway, it's the YMCA on 74th Street, which serves the whole entire peninsula. And I'll be out campaigning in Rockaway today. I was fortunate to receive the Rockaway wave, and in the past couple of years, they've only endorsed a handful of candidates in competitive races. And so I was thrilled, and I want to make sure that everyone on the peninsula gets out to vote today.
Okay, and finally, Elizabeth Crowley, I want to ask you, for those who may not be familiar with or find out that their regular polling place is not one of the 16, can anybody go to any of the 16 polling places, or are there still restrictions on where in Queens we can vote?
There are restrictions. And there's one place that everyone could go to in Queens, and that is on Union Turnpike at New York City Board of Elections in the Queens office. Everyone could go there in person, and they will give you a ballot, which was considered an absentee ballot. They would ask you to mail it, and it has to be mailed before 5 o'clock on Tuesday.
Best of luck to you, and indeed, all the polls showed last time around anyway that you had it in the bag, so to speak, and there is so much confusion again at the moment. I'm delighted again that you joined us this morning, and give you indeed not only our wholehearted endorsement, but that of the Irish community, the Irish organizations, who are anxious that you become the next Queen's Borough President. And good luck to you. Again, let's end on give us your email, your website, and then we'll take it from there.
Great, Adrian. Thanks so much for having me on the program, and I really, truly appreciate your support, the support of the Irish community, sincerely. My website is ElizabethCrowley.com. If somebody would like to make an email directly to me or my campaign, info@ElizabethCrowley.com. And remember, the polls are open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Tuesday, our regular poll sites. So that confusion not to forget. that, you know, not to confuse that with anything else. But if you're able to vote early, do, and the internet, you can find your location on the internet for sure.
Again, good luck to you. And
thank you, Adrian.
We're all with you. Okay, good.
Thank
luck
you, thank you, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Elizabeth Crowley, there, friends. One of our own, who has indeed earned, the admiration on all the topics that indeed should be of interest to all of us, including, you know, prioritizing public education, reducing class sizes. It's going to be some project, but again, establishing and sticking with and there are very few friends who are taking time out to acknowledge the first responders and the frontline workers in this fight, particularly in Queens. She will continue her fight for women's rights and equality. And again, for improved mass transit, we are, again, it's delighted to know that among the many endorsements Elizabeth Crowley has received is the Transit Workers Union Local 100. Now, all of this will be for naught if we don't get out and sort out, even messy as it is, if you can't, and if you know that you're not going to be available for Tuesday, if you have reluctance to go to the polling places, then I would suggest you get on to and go to the website, again, info@elizabethcrowley.com.